Let's get back into the Longhorns because it's been a crazy day and a crazy decade in Longhorn football. And join us as our old friend for the Austin American Statesman. You can see him on the Twitter at BDavisAAS. It is Brian Davis on the Diamond Factory Ticket Outline. Hi, Brian.
Hello, boys. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good, man. It was a weird scene this morning. We knew the news was coming down that they were going to name a starting quarterback, but I don't think anybody thought it was going to be today. And, I mean, you're way more plugged in than anybody up here. I had heard, though, most of us had heard that they were leaning towards Hudson Card, and then suddenly the announcement was made in a very strange fashion that, no, it was not. It was Quinn.
Well, let me start by going back to Tuesday night. Okay, Tuesday night, Texas has their open practice, and it's the only time that fans get to come in and see for 2 hours, see for themselves, judge for themselves how things are going. And look, I mean, if you went to that and you are drinking burnt orange Kool-Aid, you probably thought, let's ease up on that a little bit, you know, because neither quarterback played very well. Quinn Ewers threw multiple interceptions. Card didn't look great, but Card looked better. All things being equal, Hudson looked better. And so I really do think that was the genesis of what we saw on, you know, on the internet speculation on the tip sheets, you know, Wednesdays and Thursday about Card. And then obviously today Sark does a total dip, you know, total reversal. And the only thing that I can think of is that Tuesday night was simply one data point out of, you know, spring ball and training camp. And Sark probably just chalked it up to, hey, Quinn didn't have a great night, but Quinn is the guy long term.
So, you know, when we follow this program and the day-to-day, there is always, I suppose, the truth, and then there are a number of fine conspiracies for you to deal with, and you know, the man behind the curtain pulling all the strings, and just, you know, the boosters over here. So do you feel like this race has been close? Do you feel like it's been a race all along, or that there were assurances made to get Mr. Ewers onto campus, or how would you just summarize the entire race from the get-go?
Well, I know the Aggies certainly think that this thing was a fait accompli. I mean, I get it. I totally get it. Name, image, and likeness is out there. And Quinn obviously took advantage of that while he was at Ohio State. But there's a part of me that still likes to believe that the coach puts the best players on the field, you know, regardless of how much money they're making.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's be honest, college football is the pros now as well. And so is that a factor? Maybe. But when I look at just the football aspect of this, Hudson Card had a full year of experience on Quinn, okay? And the fact that he couldn't pull away and sort of put this race away in training camp, I mean, that's a big red flag, right? I mean, that's a huge red flag, really. And all things being equal, I think the coaching handbook tells you you're supposed to go with the younger player in that scenario. Now, I'll tell you this, guys, you know, 7-5 with Quinn Ewers at the controls sounds a lot better to most Texas fans than 7-5 with Hudson Card. I mean, it just does. It just does. And so if that's what you're looking at, an 8-4, 7-5, you know, hopefully for them, maybe not a 6-6 season, you'd much rather have Quinn Ewers, you know, at quarterback than any other person right now.
So let's get to the oddity of it all, the way that it was announced, because it seemed really weird from afar, and you were there. Kind of walk us through what happened.
Yeah, so today was going to be a typical day of just regular player availability. You know, they brought some players in to talk about how things are going. You know, it's kind of a ho-hum deal. And then right at the end, before as everyone's packing up to leave, you know, John Bianco, the longtime Texas Sports Information Director, he's been with the program, you know, several decades, just a pro. He says, hey, guys, Sark wants me to tell you that Quinn Ewers will be the starter. and I'm telling you, you know, a library quiet We're talking outer space quiet. That's how quiet it was in that room. And I think someone blurted out, it might have been me, it's like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, this comes from the head coach. Yeah, here you go. You know, have at it.
And the players are kind of looking at each other, kind of looking around going, what?
Well, the players are left by this point.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's just the fourth estate essentially standing around. And it was, wow, okay. Well, let's go to the Twitter machine and punch this out there. And, you know, here we go. And so, and then they sent out an official statement a little bit later. But, yeah, but my guess is that Sark had already talked to the two players individually. And look, word of this is going to leak out. So, I mean, credit to Steve. This is them controlling the narrative, you know, going into a weekend where they have a second scrimmage on Saturday where a lot of people thought that the decision was going to be made after that. Well, now it's decided, and now you can judge. Now Sark can judge how Quinn carries himself with the first team offense.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is Brian Davis with us from the Austin American Statesman. So just in general, how much access does a reporter like you get to training camp? I'll be honest. I look at everything through like how we cover the Cowboys, but I also realize covering an NFL team and a major college team is often two different deals. And I think training camp is probably one of the real distinctions. Am I right on that?
I mean, it's night and day. It's night and day difference in terms of what reporters get in the NFL versus what they get in college. I mean, you know, when I started in this racket working for the morning news, I started covering Texas Tech, and Mike Leach let us come to practice. You know, we could watch practice on the field, right? Well, now both Texas and Texas A&M reporters don't get to watch hardly anything at all, right? And so that's why Tuesday was such a big deal. You could actually come in and watch practice and see for yourself what was going on. And it's in my view of it, coaches are they're making so much money. And the whole idea is, how do I limit something that's going to trip me up, right? And the media can trip me up. So the answer is just don't deal with it. Let's just push them to the edge, because the winning and the losing is going to determine whether I'm here or not. Right. I don't need somebody like B. Davis and his pesky little notepad and tape recorder, you know, getting me in trouble, you know, with the Texas fan base. That's what every coach thinks. Charlie thought that, Tom, and now Sark as well.
I mean, you got to feel like that you kind of hit the jackpot as far as covering a college team, though. The storylines are endless. You know what? I mean, it's kind of like covering the Cowboys of college football, and that's kind of the comp that's been made over the years. But there's so much crap down there that you get to outside of a lot of these other schools. It's endless, man.
Well, Corby, it's no Oklahoma. Let's just go ahead and get to that.
Yes.
Look, we can all be sooner born and sooner bred and blah, 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 you know, boomer sooner. I get it, right? We just all can't be that great.
I know.
Yeah.
What are we going to do, right? We have to tolerate what we can. And so, but I will say this, Texas as a brand, when they're up or when they're down, people care.
Yep.
That's why they have the Longhorn Network. That's why they are such a huge get for the SEC. When that rolls around, look, you're going to take one of the sexiest brands in college football and mix it with one of the most potent individual school brands in college football. I mean, SEC is like, you know, how fast can we do this, right? I mean, I still think it's going to be 24, but, you know, the power of the brand is never going to fade, despite the fact they have struggled for a decade now.
Where is the populace on Sark as we enter year two? Do you feel, especially with the quarterback situation and Arch waiting in the wings and all that, is everybody still very positive? Because we do know, based on the last decade, that the worm can turn pretty quickly. But everything good right now?
You know, I really feel like the mood is wait and see. I think you have to legitimately say the jury is still out. I mean, I'm a big believer in the Parcellsism, that you are what your record says you are. And right now, this is a 5-7 program, right? And I genuinely do not believe that they should be 5-7, okay? They should at least have gotten to bowl eligibility last year. When you blow three double-digit leads in the second half against three straight ranked opponents, I mean, I'm sorry, but your coaching staff should have gotten you to the finish line in one of those, right?
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen. So that this program should have been bowl eligible last year. They weren't. They've got a lot of issues besides just the quarterback. They have a young offensive line. They just lost two starters to blown ACL.
That's huge.
Last Saturday. That's going to be huge. And then, look, this defense ranked 100th out of 130 last year. They simply weren't getting enough guys on the ground. Right, and a big question this year is who's going to sack the quarterback? You know, is it going to? It can't be DeMarvion Overshown on every play, right? You know, it's got to be Finkley or some of these other younger guys. They've got to step up. So, look, Texas has a lot of issues beyond just the quarterback. And so, when you add it all up, I think as it goes back to the head coach, it's wait and see. We'll see. Now, Arch Manning, I think, lengthens the runway for Sark. Right. If you go through this year, you make it to bowl eligibility, you make it through a good year, and then you can say, and then you have Arch Manning coming in. Okay. A lot of people can get behind that. But look, you turn in a 4-8 or a 5-7 and it's miserable along the way. That's a major problem.
Yeah. You think that, you know, just got so sideways there, it seemed like after the what happened in the Cotton Bowl there in the second half. Did they eventually lose? Did you think Sark and the coaching staff lost a lot of the team as things progressed and Kansas happened?
That's hard to – I don't know. It's hard to say because we've tried to self-analyze that to death down here. And I do believe this. If Hudson Carr does not step on that field against Kansas, they beat Kansas, you know. But – you know, they also, you know, Kansas also scored 57 points that night. But for Hudson to come in and give up two turnovers the way he did, and it just stopped their momentum that night. Casey Thompson had, you know, should have stayed in the game that night. You win that game, you're 6-6, and you're going to a bowl, and we're not talking about Texas as a losing program, right? So there have been some things that the coach did along the way. It's not just the players, but look, there were some players that weren't bought in. That's absolutely clear. When you've got a safety literally running step for step down the field with a running back almost, you know, on almost 60 yards, and the safety makes almost no attempt to push the guy out of bounds, look, that's somebody that you got to get rid of.
Yeah.
That's somebody who doesn't deserve to wear the uniform, I think. So yeah, so they had some malcontents, but I really do think that they've done a good job of weeding some of those people out, and I really like this freshman class, and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
It's never boring, Brian. It's never, ever boring.
Here we go again,
Brian.
That's
the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it, Corby. It is never boring.
I know, dude. Trust me. I know. I love it.
All right. Well, Brian, a pleasure having you on. Let's do it again soon, and off we go into 2022, sir.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
See you, Brian.
That's Brian Davis, Austin American Statesman. Check him out on the Twitter and whatever you want. Very good.
Love it that he kicked Corby in the nuts.
Yes, that's a prerequisite to a return visit.
Called you out for the sooner you are.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.